Hey everyone, I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a Father's Day edition of Southern Fairways Sports Radio Show as we are broadcasting live today from our Strixon studios located in Lower Alabama. And, of course, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got a lot of great sponsors for this show. Now, first of all, I am not Randy Bergen. He has a golden voice. This you got the country hick voice here, Mart Laster from Coach Bend, Alabama, and it's kind of country and kind of slower than Randy. Randy has that voice that just resonates and people cannot forget. You won't forget mine because you'll be haunted by it for the rest of the day. But today, I'm Mark Lasseter sitting in for Randy as Randy is on assignment. And we got a great show ahead of us. So we got Dalton Orwig going to join us at 10:15 today, and we're going to talk about sports, SEC baseball championships, Tennessee football, because that's Dalton's passion, and whatever else Dalton may want to talk about at 10:15. At 10:30, we have a young man who's near and dear to my heart, Cole Kimyati, a golfer that played at Bayside Academy. State champion, individual state champion, and team state champion there at Bayside, and then went on to play at Missouri School of Science and Technology in Rolla, Missouri, and has just completed his career there and had a great career there and in Rolla, and has just finished up, and he's working now to finish his double major. And graduate there in another year. But he'll join us at 10:30. And then the master himself, Randy Bergen, will be back with us at 10:45 today to finish out the hour. But this morning is a Father's Day edition. And we did on the Prep Sports Report, we talked a great deal about dads. And we couldn't talk about dads, and we couldn't put this show on without our sponsors. I'm going to take a second to go through those sponsors with you and talk about, let all of our folks hear who our sponsors are. McConnell Automotive, we've already mentioned, a sponsor of this show for many years, just a great sponsor, a person who loves sports and loves promoting the Southern Fairways show. Strixon Golf, another great sponsor. Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, another sponsor. Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley. David Musial, the golf pro there and manager of that fine facility. And just David's one of those guys that you just enjoy spending time with and talking with. Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, longtime sponsor of this show and the Prep Sports Report. Boom's Thai Kitchen. You ever been to Boom's Thai Kitchen? You need to go there and get you some delicious Thai food. You won't regret it, I promise you. And then the PSR Radio Network throughout the state, we appreciate them and all of us being a part of one another and sharing our ideas together. So let's enjoy this Father's Day edition. We talked in the last hour a good bit about Father's Day and what it's about. Father's Day weekend for all of us is a weekend that we celebrate men who spent time with us throwing batting practice after work, sitting through two-hour rain delays at a baseball game or softball game, going to wrestling tournaments and spending all day watching wrestling, watching you wrestle, and you may only get to wrestle twice that day. But you couldn't leave the gym because you wanted to watch your teammates go. Dads who were there taught us that sports were more than just about winning. That sports were about character, perseverance, and becoming the kind of person others can count on. And I was so fortunate to tell the story of my father in the last hour about some things that he taught me and things that I think are important in my life that he taught me. And hopefully I can teach those to my children. And so as we go through this hour today, keep our fathers in mind and who they are and what they mean to us. And notice that, know also that while we're watching these tournaments, most of the guys playing in these tournaments, all of them got a father. And many of them are fathers. And they're out playing in the World Cup right now. The World Cup's a huge thing going on. And I think it's in three different countries right now. They're actually playing the World Cup in. They expanded the World Cup from 32 to 48 teams, and they are playing all over the place. And the United States is having a great run. I think they're 2-0 right now.
Yes.
And so it's just been a huge run for them so far. They just beat Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
And so I don't know who they have upcoming. I haven't seen that yet. But the United States is having a great World Cup. And I know that I saw where our athletic director was. I think they played some games at Auburn University. And I think they were there to watch some games there at Auburn University. I think they watched Argentina play. And I'm not positive about it, but I think that's what was going on.
Yeah, I think some of the big leaders right now is Mexico, Korea Republic, the Czech, and South Africa are the top four.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who America's lined up to go with next.
They're in Group D, 6 points. And I'm not 100% on how the soccer stats and standouts, you know, how they match up. It's really interesting, though, how America's gotten into it so big.
Right.
You know, and to be honest with you, you know, we always confuse football. Well, they say football.
Right.
And we call what we call soccer, they call football.
Right.
But it, you know, if you've ever traveled abroad, I went to England back in 2014, and football, as we know it, it don't exist. It just doesn't exist. People don't care. But there, I mean, it's life.
Right.
It's like a lot of our sports is here. Sports is life. The game.
Yeah.
It's just huge.
Soccer is huge. I know that. If you watch games that are played there in Europe, throughout the world, especially in South America, stands are full.
Oh.
You know, people are just going nuts.
And they're huge stadiums.
They are huge stadiums.
I mean, the fields are absolutely – I thought I had a tough time playing eight-man football. I mean, they widen the field. No, this thing is – I admire soccer players because they are – the endurance that they – just unreal.
Right.
Unreal. Football's a whole different, you know, American football's a whole different game. It's tough, and you're brutalized within 5 years. You're pretty much done.
Yeah.
You know, with a soccer player, you've got good 10, 12, 13 years, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the longevity and the athleticism is just totally different.
So the World Cup's going on. I think the United States has a shot to make it went into group. Mexico and Brazil are among teams that have locked strong early, they have looked strong early in the tournament. So hopefully we'll get to see United States get into that group, and it ought to be some really good soccer.
Interesting, the highest scoring team so far has been Germany.
Really?
7 goals in one match.
Wow.
The best goal difference, as they call it, Canada +6 and Germany +6. And the team's already with 2 wins, Mexico and the U.S., so, yeah, U.S. is excited. I see why.
Absolutely. Also going on right now is the U.S. Golf Open Golf Championship. They're playing at Shinnecock Hills. And right now the leader of that tournament is Wyndham Clark. Now, Wyndham won that tournament in 2023. Right now he leads at 7 under par. A 4-shot lead into the weekend. I think my notes are right on that. Tied at 2nd at 3 under are Matt Fitzpatrick, Xander Schauffele, Tom Kim, and Sam Stevens. World number one Scotty Scheffler and Roy McIlroy are both at even par, 7 strokes behind Clark. So is Clark ready to become a multiple major winner? I guess we're going to find out. Or will Scheffler or Rory or somebody come roaring back in the next today and tomorrow.
You know who Randy's voting for? Always. Shepler.
Oh, yeah.
He's always Shepler. I mean, he's such a – and Rory as well. He seems to always back them really well.
So
we'll find out later in the hour.
Yeah, those will be fun to watch coming up this weekend. So you got a lot to watch, a lot of sports going on. And come back and join us here on the Southern Fairway Show in just a moment. We'll have Dalton Orwig with us and talk a little bit more about sports in the United States.
Hello from beautiful Lake Tahoe. This is Brett Baer with Fox News Channel for your up-to-date golf and sports information news. Please continue to listen to Southern Fairways Radio Show with your host, Randy Bergen, and sweet-swinging Bobby Hall. Have a blessed day. Keep it fair, balanced, and unafraid. And by the way, Roll Tide and War Eagle.
Well, welcome back to the Southern Fairways Radio Show. Sponsors are broadcasting live from our Srixon studios here in Lower Alabama and presented by McConnell Automotive, located on just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile. We have Dalton Orwig with us this morning. And we're so glad to have Dalton here. At least somebody knows something about sports throughout our area, because I'm over here struggling.
Not struggling at all, Coach. You're sounding great today, man. This is awesome.
Well, I appreciate it. You're too kind. But we got a lot. There's a lot of things going on. We talked a little bit about the U.S. Open. We talked a little bit about the World Cup. Now we got the Baseball World Series. Where are we at with that? And kind of what's going on with that right now?
Oh, yeah. So for the first off, Coach, I want to say happy Father's Day. Thank you so much for asking me to come on today. And I want to tell you, Mark, you're one of the best dads, one of the best men that I have ever met. It's just being around you has been such a blessing my entire time around Prep Sports Report. And your love for Christ and sports and teaching so many kids by example is inspiring, Coach. So I really enjoy any time I get with you.
Thank you, Dalton. I really appreciate that, man. I really do. Thank you so much.
But for the Men's College World Series, yeah, they wrapped that up actually this past weekend. They were going to go all the way to Monday if they needed a game three, but what we ended up with were a couple of – well, one real long shot that ended up in the series, and that was Oklahoma. And you also had North Carolina, who were ranked fifth going into the tournament. So the big boys fell really early on. I mean, the top two seeds, UCLA and Georgia Tech, I believe, they all fell off really early. But had that actually looks like earlier this week when Oklahoma and North Carolina were meeting up, they had – I'm sorry. They're still planning to play this weekend. We got through the semifinals this past week. And Georgia, that was what was shocking to me. They hit so well throughout the SEC tournament, and then all the way through the regionals and super regionals. And then for Oklahoma to come through the way they did was just amazing to me. And they took care of Georgia 11-4 without needing that second elimination game. And then you had West Virginia, who, you know, I hated that they ended Troy's run there, because that was so cool to see what the Trojans were able to do. First trip ever to the women, the College World Series. And then even won that game to eliminate Ole Miss. But then West Virginia kind of ended their hopes. And then after that, North Carolina ended their hopes. So we have a couple teams that I don't think many were expecting to play in these finals. And they'll do a best 2 out of 3 today, game one, tomorrow game two, and then if necessary, they'll get game three on Monday.
You know, it was funny. We talked about this, I think, last week. We were talking about, or maybe the week before, who was going to be, you know, in the deal, who was going to be teams to watch. And I thought it was going to be Georgia. That was my pick. Because they were hot, and they were really playing good baseball, and all of a sudden Oklahoma's the hot team, you know, and then Rick said North Carolina was going to be a team to be reckoned with. So it's going to be fun to watch.
It sure should be, and that's the thing about the SEC, and I know we're used to talking about that in a number of sports, but Auburn could have been the team that got hot. I mean, there was basically 1 through 8 in that conference. Could have been the team that's sitting there where Oklahoma is now, or right there with Oklahoma. the parity is unreal. And for as many issues as we have with the NIL and the transfer portal and everything, as far as parity, it seems like college baseball is where the parity has gone, thanks to these transfers and such, because it really almost seems like most teams have a chance by the end of the year.
Exactly. I think that has, and I think you'll see that more. You know, I'm really hoping that's what happens with this, and it doesn't become, you know, lopsided with the teams with all the money. But I think what you're saying is very real. Well, I'll tell you what, let's change subjects a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Tennessee football. I saw they picked up flipped a commitment from Alabama the other day. I think the Simon kid, linebacker, edge rusher, I believe is what he does. I think he is going to Tennessee, and it looks like they're making some moves on the recruiting path.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. You know, I love talking recruiting. It's unfortunate, though, that that's kind of right now where most Tennessee fans are focused on 2027 and 2028, when I think there's plenty of reason that this year I don't think we're going to be it would take a lot for us to get into the playoff, even at 12 teams. I think we'll be kind of on the cusp of top 25 into that playoff territory.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks are still looking a couple of years down the road. And, yeah, Heupel's been hot on the recruiting trail. I think he has them top 10 countrywide for 2027, which is pretty impressive because, you know, the results early on in the Heupel term here as coach were very, very promising. And as you know, the year that he had Hendon Hooker and you had Alex Golish running that offense, who's now, of course, with Auburn, and really had a chance to get into that Final Four playoff back when it was just four teams. Since then, we've had some middling years and some issues at quarterback, and that could very well be their undoing this coming year. I mean, our offensive weapons, they're about as the best group of offensive weapons I've seen there in some time, and that's saying something because they've had some good receivers and really good running backs. But at the quarterback position, right now, I don't know if it's the way the transfer portal landed or what, but we're stuck between either a really highly touted true freshman in Faison Brandon, who looks to be, according to reports, winning the job in camp, or a redshirt freshman in George McIntyre, who was also a 3- or 4-star coming in the year prior. And I guess he's not looking as good as they were hoping to going into year two in the program. So that'll be the issue on offense for Tennessee this year. But on defense, again, on paper, they look really good. Some studs that they were able to get from the transfer portal, especially from Penn State, where they brought over the defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, who was at Ohio State, too, for some time. But everything I read, they say that Knowles defense, that scheme, takes a little seasoning. It usually takes a season and a half, 2 seasons before the defense is able to grasp it. So it's really, for me, this coming season for the Vols in football, kind of some unknowns, and I could see them going a good 9-3 if everything goes the right way, or a 7-5, 6-6 season, and then that heat on Heupel is going to really start to turn up a little bit if we get a 6-6 year.
You know, and the whole thing is, you know, with him, I think he's one of the best offensive minds in college football. I really do. He does some things that he knows how to take his receivers and stress a defense. The problem is he's got to have a guy who can pull the trigger. And that's been, you know, that to me, that's been, as you said, that's been the problem they've had over the last few years since Hooker, because Hooker could get the ball wherever he needed to get it. And they just haven't had that
guy. He did, yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you watch some of these pro teams over the years, and now with this payment thing, and I know it seems like a never-ending spigot of money that's flowing through a lot of these programs, like in Knoxville. But if you make big investments and those don't turn out, I really do wonder how much that harms your program for a while going forward, because this team put a lot into Nico. And
right.
You remember that controversy last summer. They paid some big money. They gave him a lot of, you know, what they thought would take for him to succeed. And, you know, even building offensive schemes around some of these guys. And then when they leave, or if they don't pan out to the funds and everything you put into them, we're seeing some another kind of angle of the pro ball showing up in college now.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that's one of the fallacies about all this money that's going out. It's just we don't know the long-term effects it's going to have yet. And it's going to have some. And I think it can be – bad in some ways if we don't get to me, we need to get a handle on it. There needs to be a cap of some sort. But that being said, let's move on to something else. We talked about Golish.
Yeah,
what do you see Golish doing at Auburn?
Well, I mean, I listen to Feinbaum all the time, of course. He comes on 2 o'clock on this here station, FM Talk 106.5. And for as much as people do or don't like Feinbaum, he seems to get a good read on some of these coaches and get it early. He gets so much FaceTime with them and just hearing from people around the programs. And he is loving what Golish has done since he got to Auburn. And he's taken that route that so many have out of the SEC and then back in to the SEC. I mentioned he was with the Vols.
Right.
And then he goes down to Florida. And you know, he has a couple really pretty successful seasons for them. I think with Auburn, if he can, it's kind of like the Heupel thing. If he can get that defense settled to where he has someone over there that he trusts, and I love that he retained and what's his name? It's slipping with me right now, but the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I think if he has a veteran that's over there that can kind of run the program like a coach, and he gets that offense looking good, Auburn they could really surprise some people this year, and I would love. Not as much as Auburn fans would, but I would love to see them have put together a really good string of wins this year.
I think you're right. I think Golish is doing the right thing. What I first noticed is that he opened the doors to the alumni and was saying, "Yummy, you know, he needs to get some of those former players back in there and get them back around the guys and tell them what Auburn football is all about." And I think that's one thing that he's done is trying to create more of a family atmosphere there with Auburn. And I think that's going to help Auburn a great deal. So I'm looking forward to seeing some improvement there. I think the SEC is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, who knows what LSU is going to put out. It ought to be good, all the money they've spent. So it ought to be pretty good. And then what's Ole Miss going to have? What do they have left in the tank? It ought to be pretty interesting. I think we got about a minute left, Dalt. Anything on your mind or heart you just want to share with us?
Well, DJ Durkin, by the way, defensive coordinator, I was trying to remember there. Smart move keeping him around. Just, again, you know, happy Father's Day. Happy 250th to America. I love the patriotism we're seeing. I know you were talking about the World Cup. It's great seeing all of this, you know, fun happening in America. And we love, you know, our college sports and just sports in general so much down here. This is making for a really great rest of 2026, and I enjoy listening to you talk about it every Saturday, Coach, on Prep Sports Report, and when you get on with Randy here on Southern Fairways. Love it.
Thank you, buddy. Doc, as always, please have a great Father's Day, and thank you for joining us today, and I just appreciate the man you are and dad you are, and look forward to seeing you soon, pal.
Thank you, Coach. Happy Father's Day.
You too, pal. What a great guy. What a great guy. Hang with us. Coming right back will be Cole Comiotti joining us. Golfer, just finished his golf career at Missouri S&T.
Hey, get her done. You know who this is? This is Larry the Cable Guy. And you know who you're listening to? That's right. Randy Bergen on Southern Fairways Radio Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Southern Fairways Radio Show. I am not Randy Bergen. I am Mark Lasseter. I am only second string in this group because there's only one Randy Bergen. I'm third string on the other group, but today I'm second string on this group. And just happy to be here with Steve Stanley running the boards and keeping me straight today. We have a special guest with us right now, one of my favorite people. I got to know this young man several years ago playing golf, watching him play golf, and then being able to be his coach at Bayside Academy, Cole Comiotti. Cole, welcome, buddy. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I could be here.
You know, Cole's one of those guys that I'll tell you a little quick story about Cole. When we were playing sectionals one year, and he hates to hear it because I tell it all the time, and he's probably tired of listening to me tell it. We're playing sectionals, and he gets food poisoning on Sunday night, and we got the tournament the next morning. So the next morning, his dad calls me and says, Cole's sick. We moved him back in the lineup, got him a push cart, and he played the entire 18 holes that day with food poisoning. At this is a sectional tournament. We were in a tough tournament, and we wanted to make sure we could make it. We had to move him back to number five, and I watched him lay on the tee box on about four different holes, just trying to get up enough energy to finish the round. What'd you shoot that day, Cole? Didn't you shoot 71, 72?
Yeah, I think I shot even. I can't remember exactly what the par was, but I shot even that day, I think.
It was at that was at Dothan Country Club, and I think that's a 71, I think. 70 or 71. You did shoot even par, though, but that was one of the stories I like to tell. You know, now that he's graduated, I tell the other guys, I don't want to hear you complain about being tired or sick. We had a guy here who played with food poisoning and won the tournament sick. So they just have to deal with that. Cole, tell us a little bit about, we got you here for several minutes, and we want to talk about your career as a golfer, finishing up at Missouri School of Science and Technology. But tell us a little bit about, just quickly, about your, we want to spend most of our time talking about when you were at in college, but tell us a little bit about your high school career and then that transition from going from high school to college and what that was like.
Yeah, so I started at Bayside when I was an eighth grader. I was ineligible for the golf team that year because I had just transferred in. But then I started playing my freshman year, pretty much played every tournament from my freshman to my senior year. And then we finally won our state championship our senior year.
Yep.
And then probably could have won a couple more, but we got rained out. I think it was my sophomore year.
Correct.
So, yeah, I was glad to get the state championship that final year with the team and individually. That was one of my main goals, was to get it individually. So I was very proud of that. And then, you know, transitioning to college was a major step and kind of I really got a slap in the face because I missed my first tournament going into college. You know, that was something I wasn't used to because I had played every tournament in high school. And then now I'm going to college. I came to make the first tournament. So it was kind of unexpected. You know, I didn't really know what to expect. But, and then after that first tournament, I pretty much played every tournament from then on out in college. You know, I knew I needed to improve my game, my mental. So just, and I kind of got to experience what the freshmen at Bayside looked at me, how I looked at the seniors in college. You know, when I got to college, I wasn't the best anymore. It was, everyone's just as good as me, if not better. You know, that's how I saw the seniors. You know, they were the leaders. We kind of relied on them to show us how we needed to play throughout my college career. And then that kind of helped me build what I needed to be my junior and senior year, kind of show the underclassmen what they need to do and stuff and how they were able to rely on me. So it was a cool transition looking back on it. And I'm very glad I got to do this.
Well, you did a great job. Let me go over some things that I have here. And if I've got something wrong, you tell me. In 2025, all GLVC selection after finishing third at the GLVC championship. Ping, Midwest All-Region Team selection 2025. GSC Academic All-District 2025. Golfer of the Week, April 2025, after a runner-up finish at Ashland Springs Invitational. Second career GLVC Player of the Week honor in March of 2026. Another runner-up finish in all tournament honors at the Sapana Intercollegiate. Ranked as high as 67th nationally and number 5 in the Midwest region in NCAA Division II rankings. That was all just a part of what you did. What do you think, Cole, you can attribute that success to? What are some things that needed to be done for you to stay at that high a level of golf?
I think it really helps when you have a good coach that wants you to play well, and then he knows what he needs to do to make you play well. Like, you know, he kind of told us the truth. You know, he told us sometimes, like, we need to be better, you know, in every aspect. So it's good to have someone that pushed us. And then we also kind of have, I think, we also had like the work ethic to want to be better. You know, it's like average is not satisfactory. You could always be better. So I think that was something that I really tried to rely on to play as well as I did my last 2 years at school.
Well, you know, your team just had some, I think it was your junior year, when your team had probably the best season while you were there. I think y'all won 6 tournaments.
Yes.
Great Lakes Valley Conference Championship. You finished top 3 in every stroke play event. National match play for the first time in program history. And the NCAA Division II National Championship quarterfinals. What a
great,
that was a tremendous team. Tell us a little bit about that team.
So we had 2 seniors that graduated, me and then, or 2 juniors and then a freshman. So we kind of had a mixture of seniority on the team. You know, we had our top 4 guys were a bunch of guys that had played pretty much every tournament that they've played since they joined college. And our freshman, we knew that he had a bunch of skill level. We just knew that he needed the right motivation and leadership to play well. And then we felt like he got that at the end of the season. So we had a pretty strong 5 that we knew that we could rely on each other. Like when one of us had a bad day, the other 4 were more than likely playing well. So we knew that there wasn't a whole lot of pressure on like any single one of us because we knew we had a good team and we could rely on each other.
You know, as you finish your career, tell us a little bit about now that career has come to an end and you're finishing up. Tell us a little bit about what you got a double major you were telling me about. Tell us a little bit about that and what that's going to do and when you'll be able to graduate.
Yeah, so I'm entering my 5th year of college. I'm out of golf eligibility because I've used all 4 of my years, but I'm doing a double major in mechanical engineering and engineering management. And then I'm currently doing a mechanical engineering internship at J.H. Wright and Daphne. And then I'll be able to graduate in May of 2027, and then I'll start looking for jobs, whether that's back down here in St. Louis, whatever the best opportunity is for me.
I hear you, but I hope it's back down here because I'd love to spend some time with you.
Yes, sir.
With it coming this weekend being Father's Day, we've spent a lot of time today talking about that. And one of the things that I have the utmost respect for your dad, Craig, he's just one of those. I mean, I've watched this man and mom too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not leaving mom out. But since it's Father's Day, I'm going to talk about Craig a little bit. This is my feelings about watching this man walk 18 holes every time I turn every in high school, every tournament mm-hmm. we went to, he was there and he walked 18 holes to watch you play in college. Every time he could possibly be there, he was there to watch you play. And I just think that tells me volumes about the kind of man your dad is. I would like for you, if you can think of something, tell us about your best memory of you and your dad at a golf tournament or fishing, because I know y'all catch a lot of fish. I've seen it on Facebook, by the way. Y'all catching a lot of fish. But tell us a little bit about your best memory of your dad and the things that you cherish the most.
Well, I'll probably give one that's on the golf course and one that's not. So on the golf course, you know, the story you already told at the beginning of the session was at Dothan when I got sick. You know, I called him, he came right over to ask what was wrong, and he brought me electrolytes, food, anything that would make me feel better. He brought me medicine. And then, you know, I'll kind of expand on that story. You know, you let him take me home after the tournament, so I got to ride in his car. And then the story just gets worse because I was a little late on rolling down the window and kind of spewed everything out in his car. So that was nothing to be proud about. But then I'm outside the golf course, you know, like you said, we go fishing pretty much every weekend this summer if we can, if he's home. And I remember it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, but it was probably the biggest red snapper we've ever caught. And he got to catch it on his birthday, which we were all excited about. All the whole family, all 4 of us were on the boat, and he got to catch probably the biggest snapper he's ever caught on his birthday.
That's pretty awesome, man. Cole, yep. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and who you are, the young man you are, and how you represented your family while your years at Bayside Academy with the utmost class and character. And then what you did when you went off to college, same thing. You just do the things that are right, and we appreciate that, appreciate who you are and the young man that you are. And I appreciate you really taking a few minutes out of your Saturday morning to talk with your old coach here on the radio show.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to do it. I'm so happy you got me, or I was able to do this, and thank you for the time.
You got it, buddy. You take care. Tell your mom and dad hello for me. And
I will.
Hey, let's get together and have lunch here pretty soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, bud. Take care, Cole.
You too.
You talk about a fine, fine, fine young man. I mean, he was and he is that way all the time. That's what makes him such a great golfer. He's just he's humble, straightforward, goes out and does his job. Doesn't you know, elaborate on a whole lot of things. Doesn't like to talk about himself a whole lot.
You can tell. How old is he?
He's 21, I think.
Wow.
I think he's 21, if he's that old. But just a great young man, and he's going to do so well.
I was going to say, you talk about aspirations, engineering. You know, that's no easy feat.
No.
Oof. I tried CAD. I started off in CAD here at Remington, actually, for a little while. Yeah, I made it a year.
I got you. I understand.
We're just leaving it at that.
I hear you. Anyway, we got Randy Bergen coming up with us next, and on the show, we look forward to talking to him. If any of y'all have want to text us in a note about your father, a shout out to your dad, hey, be more than happy to do it.
Matter of fact, it's his dad, Rick Cleveland, instilled in me an incredible work ethic and compassion for others. By the way, his dadism was and has always been, love you, pal.
There you go.
And happy Father's Day, Dad. Love you, Clay.
That's awesome.
So, listening, Rick, wish you recovery on the hip surgery, man. That ain't no easy feat either.
No, it's not. That's tough. And right now, I think it's like today's the fourth day since surgery. Yesterday, I know he had a tough day. He didn't want anybody talking about that, but he did. So he will. He would love your prayers. We'll come back for the final segment of the Southern Fairways Radio Show with Randy Bergen, going to join us via phone from parts unknown. Look forward to hearing Randy in just a moment. Welcome back to the Southern Fairways Sports Radio Show, live from the Strickson Studios located in Lowa, Alabama. And, of course, our show is presented by McConnell Automotive, just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile. Or check them out at McConnellAutomotive.com. Now, we think we have a special guest with us. This is Mark Lassiter on the show. I'm the third or fourth. Well, actually, second team. I think there's only two teams, so I can't get any lower on this group. But we got Randy Bergen, the main man right here. Randy, how are you, buddy?
Mark, I'm doing great, Coach. And let me tell you, you're doing an outstanding, outstanding job. I think you just made it to the 18, brother. Hey, let me say happy Father's Day to you, obviously to Steve and all the dads out there, man. It's a wonderful time. And I got to tell you, we're up here, we're listening to you on Radio Alabama, Lee Perryman, Michael Brandon. Those guys do such a good job for us. Of course, our mother station, FM Talk 106.5. Great to have Dalton on. I was glad that he could jump on for a little bit. He does an awesome, awesome job. And the interview you just did with Cole Camiotti was fantastic. He did an outstanding job. And you mentioned his dad, Craig Camiotti. Of course, you know that my brother-in-law, Vern, and Craig are big, big, big buddies.
Yep.
And so we got to watch Cole grow up, and what an outstanding golfer he is, man. Just couldn't be more proud of him.
No doubt. And I mean, it was so good to have him on the show. But I just, hearing his voice, it reminded me so many memories I've got of watching him play as a high schooler. And he had a great career at Bayside before he left there, and then a great career on at Missouri S&T. But, Craig is one of those dads who was he always showed up. He always showed up, and that's a huge, huge thing.
You know, and that's the thing, because he went to Missouri to go to school to do his collegiate career there. And, you know, Craig and him, they were up there all the time, dude. You know that. So, just outstanding family. And, you know, Cole's going to be one of those kids you root for, and you're going to follow, you know, his career after playing golf. And I'm telling you, that boy could play some golf now. He could play some, he could flat play some golf.
Yeah, he could. He was always just steady, steady, steady. Every week you knew going to play, you were what you were going to get. You were going to get 73 or less every time he went to play. And that makes it pretty easy when you're coaching, you know. You just said, well, you know you got the even par or one over par already, so and sometimes under par. But he, not only that, just a great young man.
Yeah, Mark, he is. Hang on one sec. I got to hit this shot real quick.
I want to hear it.
It's feeling off a little right, maybe in Wawa.
We got you distracted, man. We got you distracted. Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, we're up here in Prattville, and we're playing RTJ up here. And I got to tell you, if you've never been up here, it is a wonderful, wonderful course. Played the Senator yesterday, which is that Scottish link style, and it beat us to death. I'm just going to tell you, you've been up here. I know you have some tournaments up here, but it beat us to death. And we're playing the Legends today and having just a blast with the guys and just enjoying it. It's just beautiful. The weather's really good. I mean, it's overcast. You know, for June, it could be much hotter than what it is. So we're having a good time up here.
Well, good, because it is the temperature is not too bad. Now, folks, I think it's going to crank up next week and get a little hotter for everyone. So enjoy it while you can, buddy. And y'all played yesterday, you said? What'd you shoot yesterday?
We don't talk about that kind of stuff.
Oh, come on, man.
We it wasn't as good as we would have liked. We had a tough time putting yesterday.
Gotcha.
You know, and it kind of spit on us with a little bit of rain. And today, it's just been overcast with no rain. So that's been good. But hopefully I can get this thing on here and get me a birdie here, man. I need a birdie real quick.
Yeah, well, birdies always help your feelings quite a bit. But we've had a really good show today, man. I've really enjoyed talking with the guys about, you know, Dalton came on and talked about the World Series, you know, College World Series. You know, that deal is going to be exciting to watch over the next couple of days. U.S. Open is wide open. You know, Wyndham Clark is sitting in first place, 7 strokes up. So we'll be watching some good stuff over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you, on that World Series, Oklahoma, oh, man, you know, I wasn't really prepared for Oklahoma. I got a lot of Sooner friends. They're not going to be friends here if they win the World Series, but they have played some really good ball. I really thought Georgia would be in this championship game.
Me too.
And Rick even said, Coach Cleveland said, watch North Carolina. Yeah. That's your underdog right now. And he's right, and they're playing some good ball. So World Series ought to be good. And, of course, Wyndham Clark looking for his second major. He won this back in 2023. And he looks like he's in pretty good position right now.
He looks like he's real. I mean, I watched it yesterday for a little while, and he looks like he's playing. But can Scheffler and the guys come back, do you think?
You never say Scheffler's out. Okay, he can be 20 down, and somehow he finds a way to get back on that leaderboard. So
I knew he was going to say, I told you. And by the way, Randy, you sound like you're out of shape. Do you do any kind of exercising?
Steve, that's a personal question. Of course I do not.
Sorry, I just had to ask. It was too noticeable.
I'm sorry. We're climbing hills here.
That's
we're,
what I know.
At a little
I
bit higher are. Elevation over here. So, but this is, you know, we call it the fat pack. Well, let me tell you, the guys I'm playing with, they're some fat boys, and we're all struggling going up and down these hills.
What happened to the golf cart?
They have it where you can't take these carts everywhere. They got that GPS on there, and they put these little electronic fences up, and it will stop you, and you got to back up.
Yeah.
So we're having to walk in certain places, yeah.
I got you.
That's no fun.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Mark, what are you doing for Father's Day?
Well, we're going to – the family's going to church at I think we're all going to Mars Hill Church tomorrow over in Fairhope, and coming back home and having a little lunch there at the house. Tonight, even better, tonight, Michelle and I, this is our 35th anniversary this this weekend, and so tonight we're going to eat at Kingfisher Restaurant.
Nice.
And so we're going to go have a big time. And
happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you, man. I can't believe that woman put up with me for 35 years. But
you certainly outkicked your coverage there, man.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, you got a wonderful wife, got a wonderful family. And, Mark, you know what you mean to all of us, and we appreciate you. I really appreciate you filling in for me. And you had 3 full hours. Of course, you got to hang out with Steve for 3 hours, so
yeah.
Not all bad. But
Heck no.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you filling in for me today.
It's no problem, brother. I hope you enjoy your day. Go play some golf, have some fun, and be safe driving back home.
Will do. Will do. Guys, as always, man, thank you, and happy Father's Day, and I hope you have a great anniversary. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you,
man. And take care. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Happy Father's Day, pal.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Randy Bergen. Yeah, I don't know. Driving through there, I went up to visit my son when they had their twins here 2 weeks ago, and I was reminded of how many hills are in Birmingham and further north. So, I don't care how good a shape you're in. It really don't. It'll still wind you.
It does. And, you know, they're playing over there. Where they're playing is the course is very hilly. And it's you walk up down the tunnel and to talk on the phone, you don't realize it until you're talking.
Right.
You know, if you're not talking, it's not a big deal. But if you're trying to talk – and walk at the same time up and down the hill, it kind of gets you airy.
And get your shot.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did that. That was pretty impressive.
That
right
was
there.
Impressive.
I mean, that put me up on the Randy Bergen credibility list for about 2 points right there.
No doubt. But, so we got Father's Day's tomorrow, and it's been really a good day to talk about Father's Day today, and I've really enjoyed it. And enjoyed spending time with you today, Steve.
One of the things that I really wanted to say on this Father's Day, with about a minute left here, it's amazing being a father at the certain levels of maturity. Now my son is coming into his fatherhood, and with two twins, one they're fraternal twins. One looks more like mama, and the other one looking like dad.
Yeah.
So bless his heart. but, you know, I guess the thing for me is to tell him, I know it's a special weekend for him, his first Father's Day, and I just wanted to say to him and all the fathers how much I admire the way that you stepped up into the role. You know, it gives me an entirely new level of admiration and respect for a man when they really hold fast and hold true. Because it hasn't been an easy 35 years, 32 years. My daughter, of course, is 30, coming up on her 36th already, and she's got 3 sons. It's just, we got a small baseball team coming up.
There you go. So,
basketball team. So happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
And to you
Day.
As well, obviously. Thank you. Everyone.
And to you, buddy. And yeah, it is it's different to watch, you know, watch your kids grow up and they come through different levels of maturity with that, and then they take different responsibilities. You know, and it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And what the hardest part is looking back on those 30 years ago and now, wait a minute, where did they go?
Exactly.
I mean, just in the last probably last little bit, wow,
right.
Past year or so, it's just like, pow. All of a sudden, I'm looking back going, no, where did this go?
That's right.
Man.
All right, man. Thank y'all for listening to Southern Fairways Radio Show today. We appreciate y'all being with us. We appreciate Cole Camiotti being with us, Dalton Norwig being with us. And Steve, thank you for working with me today, and we had a good time, and I hope you guys have a great Father's Day weekend and a great week, and we'll see you this time next week.